Well, last Sunday evening, we had a power cut at our house, which actually lasted several hours. And I must say, it was a very instructive experience to go through. It wasn't really the loss of light that was the problem. We had candles, and we enjoyed getting those out of the cupboard and lighting them. It was that suddenly we were in the dark in terms of our connection to the world wide web. Suddenly, I couldn't find out what the news was on my favourite website. Rachel, my wife, couldn't continue with her emails to friends. Our children couldn't chat on MSN and Facebook and everything else that they do. Suddenly, we felt very cut off from the information superhighway. I resorted to reading a novel, which is a novel thing for me to have to do, by candlelight for the rest of the evening. But imagine for a moment if there was a trans-heavenly power cut and your broadband connection to God was suddenly severed, suddenly cut off. I wonder, if that happened to us, would we notice that it had happened? Obviously, it's never going to happen, but I can tell you one thing. If it did, the one person who would notice immediately is Jesus. As the words he speaks here in John 15 show clearly, Jesus makes our connection to him his top priority. And this passage is from a section of John's account of the life of Jesus, which is often called the farewell discourse. It's the farewell talk that Jesus gives to his close followers. And he starts in the chapter before by telling them, as we looked at last week, that he's going to prepare a place for them so that where he is going to be, they, his followers, will be with him for all eternity. And then he talks about the here and now, and he talks about the fact that he'll continue to be with them even now on this earth by his Holy Spirit. So in chapter 14, Jesus assures his followers that he's going to be with them now and for eternity. But the question that then begs is, I'll be with you, but will you be with me? Will you stay connected to me? And throughout this passage that we've just heard read, Jesus uses this word, remain. So verse 4 on page 1083, verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. And then at the end of the verse, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him. Verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And then verse 10, the same thing. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. A Christian is someone who is plugged into the abundant life that comes from God. And Jesus says here to his followers, to many people here this lunchtime who know Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, he says, keep plugged into me. Remain drawing from me. And Jesus used this very simple picture of a vine. So let's look at verse 5 together of the passage. Verse 5, I am the vine, says Jesus. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, we're not independent vine plants in some sort of field with Jesus as the sort of sun that shines light onto all these independent plants. No. We're connected. We're one and the same, connected in to Jesus. We're dependent totally on him. Without him, we can do nothing. Verse 1 explains that idea more. I am the vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it may be even more fruitful. Now, I am a city boy through and through, and my idea of going to the country is going up to Muswell Hill, I think, or somewhere like that. But I do know a little bit, or understand this picture, that a vine branch, if it doesn't stay connected to the main trunk of the vine, it's going to die very, very quickly. It needs to draw all its resources from the main vine. And as Jesus says here, if it's bearing no fruit, that means it's dead. It means it's stopped drawing resources. The trunk isn't dead, the main plant, but this branch is dead. It's been blocked off from drawing resources and therefore needs to be cut off and removed completely. And Jesus is using this picture to say, we need to be like that. We need to understand this, that we need to stay connected, drawing resources from Jesus. Unless we do that, we're dead, spiritually dead, just not receiving from God at all. And that is the issue. There is potential, Jesus says, in all human beings not to remain. We were designed, created, to be connected to God in spiritual relationship. If that wasn't the case, that we had potential to draw away, Jesus wouldn't say all the time to the disciples, remain, 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 because he knows there is potential for them not to remain in him. And that loss of dependence on God, it can be very imperceptible, can't it? It can just start very gradually, and then suddenly we realize we're totally unfruitful because we've lost that drawing from God. Verse 5 is a very good test of us this lunchtime. Let's look at verse 5 again. Jesus says in the second half, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I wonder, do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Intellectually, I'm sure you do. You've heard that before. But actually, think through this morning when you're at work or whatever you were doing this morning. Did you realize, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing? When you got up in the morning, did you think, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing? Now, yes, you can do many things, but nothing that is going to echo into eternity, nothing that is going to be a fruitful service to God's glory. That is what Jesus is saying. And I wonder if we sort of understand that in our head, but we practice independence from God. We practice saying, well, of course, there's lots of things I can do. Yeah, I know I should pray about this, but I haven't got time. You know, I'm in a hurry. I know I should be dwelling on God's word, but I'll be okay. I'll get through this. I've got my own resources. And Jesus says, no, you can do nothing apart from me. Dependence on Jesus starts with accepting our dependence on him for everything. And that's our first question this morning. What are the inputs we need for this productive life? That is our title for this passage. What are the inputs we need? Well, verse 3 says, we need the input of Jesus' cleansing. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You are totally dependent on me, Jesus says, to bring the spiritual cleansing, to cleanse you into a renewed relationship, forgiven relationship with your Heavenly Father. Verse 7, we're totally dependent on Jesus in terms of receiving answers to prayer. If you remain in me, verse 7, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. Only when we are praying, connected to Jesus, connected to God's will, praying in God's will we see answers to our prayers. When we think, why isn't God answering? Well, are we connected? Are we depending on him in receiving answers to prayer? Verse 9, he says, I, and I alone, are the one you need to depend on to receive that message of sacrificial, unconditional love. Let's look at verse 9 together. As the Father has loved me with that total love, so I have loved you. Now remain in that love. Depend on it with your whole life. Verse 11, I've told you that, so that my joy, that complete joy that Jesus has, that complete peace and purpose the future, that joy may be complete, maybe in you. You're depending on that as I give that to you. Verse 14 talks about being friends with God, being called God's friends. And again, we can't just make that up, say, I'm going to be a friend of God by my own resources. No, we depend totally on Jesus to pay for that status as God's friends. And then Jesus says, I've learnt everything in verse 15 from my Father who knows all, and I will tell you that. But we can't just make up knowledge in a vacuum. No, we depend on Jesus. So without those inputs from Jesus, we're never going to know productive outputs. To switch metaphors for a second, you may know from your sort of geography lessons or whatever that a lake depends on two things for a lake to be healthy and not stagnant. It relies on having an input of water, but also an output of water. If there's no input, then the lake will dry up completely because it will never be replenished. If there's no output, then the water will just get stagnant and stale because it never moves. We need both an input and an output. And exactly the same is in this analogy of the vine. We need to be receiving. In order to be fruitful, we need to receive from Jesus, not think we can make it on our own. But the trouble is we often treat God as a sort of a service station that we drive into. We get a top-up of fuel or whatever, and then drive away and think, I can now cope on my own for a while until my tank is empty. But we need to stay connected day by day. The majority of people, I think that when they say, I feel God is distant, well, he isn't. He's right there. Yet we have cut ourselves off. We have become distant from the source and foundation of life. And that was certainly the experience all the way through the story of the Bible. The experience is God makes amazing promises, but the people of God just stop relying on those promises. So when the people of God enter the promised land, this fertile, fruitful land, they start to rely on their own resources. Joshua, in his final recorded speech at the end of the book of Joshua, he says, choose today who you'll serve. You know, the danger is you're going to start relying on yourself and your own power to do things. But choose. Are you going to stay connected to God? The book of Isaiah, chapter 5, describes the people of God as this vineyard that God has planted, which God cares for, that God longs to see bearing fruit for his glory in the whole ends of the earth. But as it says in Psalm 80, the reality was that they didn't do that. They didn't stay connected. And Psalm 80 describes the vine withering and becoming dead, cut off from God. And that is why this claim here, this final I am statement of Jesus, is so powerful. He says, but I am the true vine. That's what it says. If you look down at verse 1, first thing Jesus says, I am the true vine. Yes, Israel was meant to be that vine. The people of God were meant to be that fruitful people. I am the true fruitful person. I've always remained connected to my Father. And therefore, if you want to know that yourself, then just link into me. Connect to me. Only by connecting to my cleansing that I've paid for by my death on the cross. Only then will you know this love, this joy, this friendship with God. I'll give it to you, this fruitful life. So the next question is, well, how do we receive these inputs that we need for a productive life? And the answer is simple, isn't it? We've already mentioned it. It is to remain in Jesus, to allow these benefits that Jesus has paid for to keep flowing into our lives. Remaining is all about constancy, isn't it? It's all about trusting, holding on, even when it seems hard. Even when life is hard and it seems that God isn't answering our prayers, it's being constant, saying, I'm going to trust the faithful God has made promises to me. This constancy idea is not very well modeled in our society. I don't know about you, but I was watching the final of The Apprentice last night, the TV show, and in the after show, if that's the right word, they showed some videotape to Saran and Sugar, who's the main guy who chooses who to hire in the program. They showed some videotape of one of the participants basically ripping into all the other participants, being very negative, very destructive. And when Alan Sugar saw that, he said, if I'd seen that, I wouldn't have touched this candidate with a barge pole. I don't see anybody would employ this person ever again, having seen that. Because we know, don't we, that inconsistency with people, that not being trustful, not being constant, that is a cancer that eats into relationships. But Jesus says, it will eat into our relationship if you don't remain constant to me. Don't remain trustful of all that I can give. Don't be a fair-weather Christian, just receiving from God when we feel like it. But in a rough weather, holding on to God as well. Remain in me. Two ways that we need to remain. And the first is remaining in Jesus' words. Verse 7 is key in this passage. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. This isn't just some sort of gooey feeling that we receive. No, it's the words of Jesus that remain in us. Then we'll have this fruitful life, asking and God answering our prayers. All the way through the Bible, we're told, don't just listen to these words from God. Dwell on them, meditate on them day and night. Allow them to seep into the whole of who you are as a person. Not just head knowledge, but knowledge that transforms our thinking, our character, our understanding. Allowing God's word to be that nutrient, that baby bio, as it were, that helps us to grow in character and grow in fruitfulness. Remain in Jesus' words, and also remain in Jesus' love. Verse 9 of chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This is a reality again. It's not just a feeling. No, I have loved you. I've shown that in action by dying on the cross for you. I will be in just a few hours' time, Jesus says. Greater love has no one, verse 13, than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That is what I'm going to do for you very, very soon. Hold on to that as a reality. Allow that love to transform your whole life, your whole vision for what you want to say, what you want to do, your attitudes day by day. I remember watching the film The Bodyguard, which sort of shows my age a bit, but Whitney Houston is the main sort of star in that. And there's an interesting episode in The Bodyguard where everything goes wrong for Whitney Houston, and she's totally miserable in her sort of country house, if you can be miserable in a lovely country house. But she was. Everything has sort of crashed around her. And she goes out onto the veranda and she just sings the song that she knew in her childhood. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And it's an amazing thing to watch that in the cinema and all these people listening to that message, a very simple message, but a transforming message. Yeah, everything crashing around me. But what do I know? What is going to, I need to hold on to remain in, knowing Jesus loves me. He's died for me. He's paid for me to be in unconditional relationship with God. Remain in that reality. Allow that to transform you. And what happens when we do that? Well, then we will have an output. When we're receiving those inputs, we'll be strong inside. I mean, yes, on the inside, I know I'm loved. I know God's purposes for me, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And therefore, I'm able to output in a fruitful life for him. Verse 5, it says, you are the branches, I am the vine. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And what is that fruit? Well, verse 16 tells us, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. And what is the fruit? Fruit that will last. Two vital points to understand what fruit is. First of all, fruit is about going. It says, I appointed you to go. So fruit must involve action. Action that we deliberately perform because God has given us, appointed us to a particular task. So fruit is about doing God's will in action in his world. And what is his will? Well, the other key word is it's fruit that will last. Action that has eternal consequences in God's new creation, as well as in this creation as well. One of my favourite films, or I think my very favourite film, is Gladiator. I love that film. And in Gladiator, at the beginning of the film, Maximus, the main character, he says, what we do in this life echoes in eternity. Now, I know the theology of the film is completely dodgy in many, many ways, but it's a great phrase, isn't it? And it was on the posters around the film when it came out as well. What we do in this life echoes in eternity. That's what Jesus is saying. Fruit that will last. We need to get up every morning thinking, I can be productive servant of the Lord Jesus bringing glory to God by producing fruit, actioning, making change in this world that will last to eternity, last by talking to people, being an ambassador of the good news, by bringing people along next week to the lunch here, by making change that is about eternal new creation mandate. As a Christian, that is the joy I have as I start each new day, that the joy of thinking, I can bear fruit, I can be of significance, eternal significance today. That was, after all, the first command, wasn't it, to Adam and Eve? What was their command? Be fruitful and multiply. Go, be fruitful, change this world for the better, and do that. Why? Not for our glory, but as this chapter says, and verse 8 says, do it to my Father's glory. As an ambassador, we have a stamp on our forehead that says, Jago is an ambassador of God, is going into this world on God's behalf to bring God's eternal change into society, into the friends that he meets, into the actions that he does. We're out of time completely. But let's just finish by dwelling on that word, that single word that Jesus says, remain. Remain, not just remain nearby, but remain in me. Draw from me. On the inside, receive from me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we recognize that this is an outrageous claim that Jesus is making, but the most amazing claim as well, life-changing claim, that through drawing from Jesus, remaining in him, we can know love, this message, I love you, from you, our Heavenly Father. This message, my Son has paid for forgiveness. This claim, I can know joy, peace, and purpose from the Lord Jesus. Help us to know that. Help us to draw from Jesus this day and this week. And help us to know that joy of a productive life echoing to eternity. Amen.